Welcome to the Pickup Music Pod, where we share tips to improve your guitar playing. If you're new around here, I'm Sam Blakelock, co-founder of Pickup Music, and today I'm very excited to be joined by Dr. Molly Miller and Carl Crawford, our head of education.
What's up?
So Molly is one of LA's most sought-after musicians, recording and touring with artists such as Jason Mraz and the Black Eyed Peas and many more. Her own trio, Molly Miller Trio, is with two legends from LA, Jennifer Condos and Jay Belrose. Did I get those pronunciations right?
Yes, Jennifer Condos and Jay Belrose.
Thank you. And their music has been showcased on NPR's Fresh Air. They've opened for Jason Mraz and they recently released a new single, which we're excited to preview in our other episode with Molly. Molly is a legitimate doctor in guitar from USC. She became the chair of the guitar department at Los Angeles College of Music and has returned to her alma mater, USC, as professor of studio guitar in 2022.
Yes, right? We're in 2024. Yep, 2022.
And most of all, she is one of the instructors here. And is well known for leading and teaching and shining the light on the caged system, which includes a video with over a million views on YouTube, and the program itself has helped thousands of guitarists decode their fretboard.
Mm-hmm. Millions. Millions of guitarists.
Billions.
So today I thought we could start with maybe two of the biggest issues we see with intermediate guitarists, who is our main audience here at Pickup Music. And the first is that feeling of getting stuck at an intermediate level. So this is someone who knows bar chords and open chords. They might have been playing guitar for 20 or 30 years or just 5 years, but haven't felt like they can play music. Yes, they can play songs, but they can't play music on the guitar. Mm-hmm. So Molly, what are some of the reasons you think guitarists get stuck at this level?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people get stuck wherever they are. It's sometimes hard to jump over a hurdle without some inspiration or new techniques. But I feel like that intermediate guitar player you're talking about is a super common player where, you know, they learn online, they maybe jam with friends, maybe know a pentatonic scale or two and are stuck on bar chords and open chords.
Is there anything you can put your finger on?
Because I think you can do a bunch of fun things there. And I say it's like really easy to be a mediocre guitar player, which is maybe not a nice thing to say, but it kind of is like, you know, you learn some bar chords, open chords, a scale, you can do things. But to get over the next level does take a different level of commitment. And I think that sometimes can be hard with time or finding what that thing is. Sometimes people are just like, I just want to get better, and they don't really know what that means. And sometimes doing the tedious work isn't that appealing when you can just like jam with your friend and strum chords and solo in one shape. Like having to take a lot of time to revisualize can be really challenging. Yeah, it can be really hard to, because you also won't necessarily sound as good as you think you are, you know, or you know you can be, because you're shedding things that are not in your comfort zone. So maybe you can like do that one A minor pentatonic shape and like jam there all day. But then it's like, no, you actually have to get beyond that. You have to like not be in your comfort zone, which is naturally uncomfortable. Yeah.
That's a really good point. And yeah, all guitarists don't need to be advanced. It's totally fine to chill in the intermediate zone and you can have a lot of fun. And I think that's something that you talk about, is having fun no matter what level you are at guitar.
Heck yeah. I mean, I have to remind myself, even, you know, like you guys too, like we're like professional musicians, and it can be like you forget why you do it, because you'll put pressure on yourself to, you're supposed to do this, you have to do that, you should sound a certain way, when like, why did we pick up the guitar? Because it's fun and you look cool. You know?
I definitely agree with that. That when you hit that plateau, and then a lot of times it's just like not having time.
Yeah.
Because as you said, like to get past that, it does require a certain amount of tedious, repetitive rote practice and stuff that just takes time, you know?
Yes.
So yeah, like if there's something like the cage system that can kind of like, you could be systematic with it. And you, like you said too, like, you know that you're practicing kind of the right thing.
Yeah.
Then you're not wasting that precious time when you do have time to practice. You know?
I know. And that's such a big notion of feeling. And I think, I mean, we're advanced professional players. Like, I feel like we probably have that notion sometimes too, where it's like, oh, I wasted a practice session. I'd like, which I really try not to get stuck there. Cause I think that is like, what's wasting, like spending time with your instrument's a beautiful thing and it's always an opportunity. But I do know that feeling of wanting to like utilize your time most effectively.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's why, I mean, I think the product that Pickup, you know, we all created is awesome because it is super clear of steps of how to get better. And I mean, yeah, it's nice to include all the music stuff too, because I think it's really easy to separate music and practice, or like music, like the application of things and the technique. And it's so vital to combine like fun and joy and musicality into whatever technique you're learning. So
yeah,
I think that's why learning songs is so popular when you're at a beginner level, mm-hmm. because it's structured. Like, that's the song, I love the song, I'm going to learn it. But I guess that can take you quite far. But at some point, you need to think about technique,
yeah.
scales, what's going on under the song. And yeah. that, I guess that's the stuff we're talking about. And Cage fits nicely into that. Like yes. you say, it's very structured. Perhaps we'll get to the downsides of it. Maybe it's overstructured.
I know. Well, like I think that there's ways to conceptualize things to not make it like, this is a scale. Because sure, it's a scale, but it's really just a vehicle to make music. Mm-hmm. And I think in the practice of it and in the learning of it, to emphasize that, like the application and the musicality of it, is how you can fix that ailment of feeling like you're mm-hmm. learning a scale.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So first common issue, you're stuck at the intermediate level. And the second one that is quite common is you feel like your fretboard is a mystery. You have your comfort zones, may know the minor pentatonic scale, but you feel stuck in the box. So why do you think guitarists feel like the guitar fretboard is overwhelming, like versus something like the piano? Or
because it is. I mean, there's five middle C's. You know, I think the guitar is like a naturally confusing thing. I remember for like my dissertation for USC, like one of the articles was about that exact thing. Like, why guitar? There's so many things that are naturally challenging about it. Like, when you talk about it, it's dyslexic. Like, up is down and down is up, you know? When you like, when physically it's challenging, like piano, you just put your finger down. To play a bar chord, that's like, for many students, like so painful and takes so much time, because it's not like, even for me, like if I'm playing a bunch of bar chords, like I'm like, I don't, my hand gets tired, you know? Like, I think a lot of things about the guitar, they are like naturally challenging, and visualizing, like I said, there's five middle C's, you know? So it's like, where do you play what chord? There's so many ways to voice different shapes. There's so many options, which I think you can see as overwhelming, where it's like, wow, I get all these creative decisions and like new things and new ways to unlock the fretboard. And yeah.
Yeah, I like the positive look on that, the positive spin there.
try.
And I mean, maybe we can touch on that darn B string. Like, why isn't it just another perfect fourth? It just like throws everything off. What is the reason for that?
But, what's the reason?
Come on, PhD.
I'm like, DMA, not quite as academic. I mean, I'm sure it's just like, because it's like how things are shaped. Yeah, because otherwise that'd be weird. It'd be like a C and an F. Yeah. You know, and I think it's to like fix that, because that would be really weird to have a C and an F on top. Can you imagine playing a chord where you have like an E on the bottom and an F on the top? Yeah. That like minor second, or minor, I guess it'd be a seventh at that point. No, what would it be? It'd be a flat nine.
From
that,
an E to an F, right?
Yeah.
Know of some freaky guitar players who tune in fourths. Like, it is like an alternate tuning that exists out there.
Yeah, crazy. Some shredders. And I actually had a student one time that tried to do that. And I was like, you know, you're going down a very weird path. Like,
I can't. Yeah, like, what?
Yeah.
Just like, yeah. So I think it's confusing to like tune, like, because you're like, sometimes it's confusing to explain it, or like to have to get that in your head. But I'm like, you think of like a scale, whole, half. Like, why can't it all just be whole steps or all half steps? Wouldn't, you know, it'd be easier just to learn, but that's not how the formula works.
Right.
And like, same with, I think the guitar, I think, well, like that G to B can be not as smooth and perfect, but I don't know. It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it makes the strumming chords a lot easier.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's get to some solutions to both of these problems. So caged is nice because it helps with both. It helps you know what to practice and get out of the intermediate level. And it also helps you get to know your fretboard.
Yeah.
But it's not the only system out there. So maybe we could start with how we all learn the fretboard. Was it caged or was it something else? Are there other systems that exist in the world that help you decode your fretboard? Carl, maybe you first.
Yeah, I didn't start with caged. And I think, yeah, you as well, probably. But it was more learning, like the equivalent for me would have been learning the modes in the seven positions, I guess. Like major modes.
Yeah.
The modes of the major scale, we'll say. Yeah, what about you? Did you start with caged?
I started at seven. So I was like, it was like the monkey style where someone's like, put your hand here, play a C chord. You want to learn the song? This is how you play the song.
Right.
Oh, you want a solo? You take that one shape with like a couple other jams, you know, and shift it. And that was like seven to probably 13. Mm. And slowly like learning more pentatonic scales, I think too, when I started learning Hendrix and more about improvisation. But like, even then it wasn't, no one presented to me at like it wasn't caged. It was like, these are your pentatonic scales.
Right.
And you just move them around.
The same shape, moving it around were you kind of?
I think I was like learning more pentatonic scales, and maybe my teacher explained it to me and it was like, I don't remember it. There was no cage. It was just like, here's this shape and here's this shape and this shape connects to this shape. No explanation of why. Or at least that's not how I remember it. But then it was same. Like when I was a freshman in high school, I learned like the seven modes. But even that, like I hate that I learned it that way, where it was like when you put like this, you know, and these are all like, if you're talking cage, like E shapes. Mm. The E shape of G major Ionian, go up one whole step, and then your A minor Dorian is like starting on the fifth fret of your sixth string and so forth. So I learned the modes that way, where it was just like going up a G major scale, and there were just one position at each mode.
Right.
You know, which is like, I guess I understand why, but I it's like, so not how I think, I wouldn't teach it that way now.
And that process takes a long time to really get down, I feel like.
Yes. Well, you're like, it's like the random memorization of fingerings.
Yeah.
That drives me crazy.
Yeah.
You know, cause it's like, you're trying to remember like 1, 2, 3, 1, 4, 3, 1, 2, you know, like all these random fingerings.
Right. Right.
Instead of like, you know, see the numbers, see the shapes, like, you know, what are the chord tones? See the roots, just this more like holistic, thorough way to learn a fretboard, where I think you can more easily transfer from different modes to different scales, different arpeggios, different keys. Mm. And it's not this overwhelming memorization process of like 1, 3, 4, 1, 2, 1, 3, whatever, you know?
Yeah. Well, and with that approach, the modes, you're just learning the scale. You're not picturing the chords within it.
Yes.
And that's where caged, I think, wins in this sense.
But, yeah. And the modes too then become more mysterious, because then the modes are like a scale.
Yeah.
I'm like, the modes are not a scale. The mode's like a sound. It's like a minor chord with a natural six. Like, that's Dorian.
Right.
Or like Phrygian's a minor sound with a flat two.
Right.
And like, that's the sound. And you're not understanding them in that way.
Yeah. Right. You know? Right. Right. That's a really good point. Yeah. What about you, Sam?
Yeah. I think when I learned Little Wing, that was when I started to explore, oh, it's the same key, the same scale, but in different positions. Mm. Like when you're up on the, well, E standard, even though he was in E flat, like in E minor, but then, oh, he's still playing, but down the fretboard. So this was like when I was in high school. So I had some sense that scales exist in different parts of the guitar, but I didn't have it all together.
Yeah.
It was only until I went to college where I learned what my teacher called the five positions, which is actually caged, but it didn't have a fancy name. And it was harder to remember because it was position one, position two, three, four, five.
You know, when at caged, like my first recollection of really doing caged was at USC, Nick Stubbs, and I want to say Rick Schmunk. Do you remember that guitar book? I still have it. But that was like, suddenly I forget what year it was of college. They were like, now you have to have all these things memorized, like the five shapes of arpeggios and scales and modes and whatnot. And I was like, oh, and then I started to see the pattern. And even then I like wonder if I practiced it the quote unquote, how I view the right way. Mm. And now I try to show my students the light.
Wait, so let's get into what caged is. And I want to challenge you both. Two sentences. Oh. How do you describe caged?
A system to unlock the fretboard.
Do you work in marketing? That's pretty good.
I know, that was good. Sick words. Yeah. I mean, because I feel like we just like did all this so much. I'm going to be like,
got it ready to go.
A circular system to map the fretboard.
Great.
One sentence. We don't need two sentences.
Yeah, we don't need two. Because two, then you're like, oh, yeah. Do I start talking about how you can play in any key? Yeah, that it's the five shapes, C-A-G-E-D. But I feel like circular is important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a nice one.
Mm-hmm. System and map.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah,
totally.
And then the second question is, how does Caged help and why should a student learn it?
Oh my gosh. I feel like I'm back in... we're filming again all the courses and I'm like, Molly... why
learn Caged?
To me, it's like the clearest, most coherent way to view the fretboard. And I think there's like the three string approach or like the Segovia scales, like there's different things, but to me that's not like the key is viewing something. And so because you want your fretboard to light up when you see it. And to me, the shapes, that the first thing you do, what do you do when you learn guitar? You like learn a C chord, a D chord, a G chord, an A chord, an E chord. Like you learn these shapes. So that's like the first thing you're viewing and playing when you start playing guitar. So it's like take that information and use it to light up the fretboard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that it is, as we've been discussing, it's just kind of like the easiest road. It's the easiest path to seeing those dots light up, like you said, I think. Mm. Yeah, after doing this for a while, teaching a bunch of students, it just seems like it's the easiest way to get there.
Yeah. Path of least resistance.
Yeah.
I know all the Cage haters. I'm always what? You just don't understand what Cage is.
Yeah. Path of least resistance and the way to make it most practical in any style. Like mm-hmm. it's style agnostic too, which is great.
Totally. It's the formula to see the fretboard.
And mode agnostic. All the modes are in there. All the chords are in there. So it's not going to put you in a box like some other methods might have.
I know. The irony is you learn five boxes to get out of the box, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Sweet. So let's talk about who Caged is for. So let's imagine a spectrum. On one end, it's like, you know, your open chords, some Green Day riffs, maybe a Metallica song. And then maybe you learn some bar chords, maybe you learn the minor pentatonic scale in open position E, and then you move it up the fretboard, you're in A minor. Like, how much should you learn before you dive into Cage? Because it's not something you would give to like a kid on day one guitar class. What are the prerequisites before you get started with Caged in order to not get overwhelmed with it?
Yeah, I think at least for us at Pickup, in our course, it was... making sure that you can play those open chords, that you have some facility of bar chords, mm-hmm. standard bar chords, and then be able to play some basic scales, your basic pentatonic scales, and then you're off to the races.
I think that's about right. Yeah. It's like, are you pretty much like, are you an intermediate, early intermediate, advanced intermediate? But I think like that zone, basically like you want to take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's like the thing we started with. Like if you're kind of stuck and you have the bar chords, you have some open chords, you're curious about how to expand on that one pentatonic scale,
Are you Caged curious?
Exactly.
So I think there's three levels of understanding Caged. The first level is you get the concept, like what Caged is roughly, how it works. And the second level is you know the shapes and how they connect. And then the third level is you've built out those into scales and arpeggios and you can really make music with it.
Mastery.
So on that first level, which is just understanding Caged, maybe you could just walk us through the quick start Caged, like what it is and how it uses these basic shapes to map out your fretboard.
Yeah, so it's five shapes that you are familiar with. And think open chord, C-A-G-E-D. And what you're doing is you're almost putting a capo behind it to visualize it so they remain in those like open shapes. And, what we use here at Pickup was like all the roots as your guide. And I think a good place to start is like C. And notice how C connects to A. And A connects to G. G connects to E. E connects to D. D connects back to C. So you're visualizing these shapes and using the roots as a way to see their connection because like the front of one is the back of the other. So yeah, there are these five shapes that you can, I just start by trying to view them, you know, and see them using the shapes as a tool and trying as much to see their connection. Cause that's kind of a major point of cage, just seeing how the shapes connect. So you're not just stuck in a box, but you can flow between them by seeing their relationship.
And how much do you think you can understand caged just by looking at it, just by kind of sitting back, you're on Reddit and you see a cool diagram or Google, like how much can you take it that way versus hands on your instrument?
I mean, I think you can understand conceptually what it is by doing that. But if the point is to kind of like understand it conceptually, sure, like look at a diagram. But if you want to be actually able to like use it, yeah, you gotta put your hands on the neck.
Cool. So it's a concept and a system, but it requires hands-on with your instrument and practice and exercises.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I guess that third level there, because we went through the concept and the connections, which are the first two, is building it out into scales. So how far can cage go?
I mean, I use it now for like all the weird, like, I shouldn't say weird, but like every scale, like all the modes of the harmonic minor, melodic minor, symmetrical scales, because each chord, when you like play a C chord, G, E, D, A, whatever, like all these chords, the notes that are getting highlighted are the chord tones, the 1, 3, and 5. And those are your guide for any scale. That's how I visualize it. You know, I see the main chord tones, the roots, the thirds, the fifths. And then from there, you can build out the other notes, the second, the fourth, the sixth, the seventh. So, but seeing those shapes clearly allows you then to move them. So they're not like, while you're kind of like, you're in that shape, the roots always stay the same, which is why I think we emphasize the roots so much, because the roots stay the same, but everything else is kind of mobile and you can modulate it to make it major, minor, diminished, augmented, Phrygian dominant, the whole hat, like every scale can be like used when using caged.
Yeah, I think like the deeper, as I got deeper and deeper into my guitar journey, I started to realize like everything's, for me, was just like easier if I just based it off the major scale. Like if you have that really solid foundation of understanding caged and seeing the chord tone, seeing the pentatonic, seeing the major scale, then everything else is just like, oh, well, I just flat it here.
Yes.
Or I raise it here or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You do the same? Same. Everything's relevant or related to the major scale.
Well, I mean, two things. Yeah, for so long I didn't. And that was like, now I look back and talk about wasted practice, like trying to memorize fingerings. But yeah, for sure. Like that sort of, because I mean, you think about even how theory is. Like you call a note a flat 6. You call it a sharp 9. Like it's all related to the scale, to the major scale.
It's a major scale, right.
Everything is in relation to the major scale. And I think if you can view the guitar that way too, and especially the faster you get, like it just, I think it makes more sense.
Yeah. And so when we redesigned the first cage course, we originally had like minor cage stuff in that, like grades 5 and 6.
Yeah.
But then I think we, you know, when we redesigned it, we were like, it takes a long time to just visualize the major.
Yeah.
And like, if you get the major stuff totally down, which now we have 6 grades of just major, including triads now, then that'll set people up with like a super solid foundation. And then cage 2 will be minor triads, minor scales, and other major stuff too, probably. But
yeah, I think it's like really easy to want to like jump and be like, know everything at once. But I do think this like a very thorough approach, feeling super cozy in major and having it be clear before moving to the next thing is definitely the right move.
Yeah.
So I'm interested, like, so you guys, let's say you're improvising over a chord progression. Let's take something like Stevie Wonder, Isn't She Lovely, that everyone more or less knows. Like, are you thinking literal cage shapes, or are you now at the level where these are just shapes and it's just your fretboard and it's just guitar? Like what is going through your mind as you're improvising over a chord progression?
A song like that is mostly in one key. So I think sometimes, like, I think it's important to sometimes just like, for example, like that key is mostly just in C sharp minor, E major, if we're in the original. So sometimes it's like, I don't want to be like targeting all these tones because it'll sound too jazzy or I don't know, like it depends on the vibe of the solo or the character of the solo. So yeah, sometimes I'm just like E major, let your ear naturally go where it makes sense. But then sometimes you want to really target it. Like maybe when the B section really goes to the four, I want to really emphasize it and make that an E7 chord. So yeah, I'll be thinking about the shapes. And this has been like taken so much time because I understand like playing changes and moving fast, like takes a lot of time, which I think all of us have spent a lot of time doing it. So, but yeah, I will be seeing C sharp minor everywhere and then like F sharp everywhere and then B everywhere and E everywhere. But also the shapes are like the notes really that you might want to target or you want to probably target because it's the root, the three and the five. So you can target each of those tones. And that's really how you're playing changes is like targeting the chord tones and then playing the pretty notes around it.
That's a really good point because you can learn the shapes, which is a like seven notes is a lot of notes to pick from, but those may and are likely not the right note to land on, which is why you talk a lot about the importance of chord tones. So it's kind of like cage is just the first step, but within each of these shapes, particularly if it's changing chord, you kind of have to know the sweet notes.
Yeah. And then also it's like you also, it's not like you just want to only solo like playing using your arpeggios, playing chord tones, but I think, and it's not like you only should target the 1-3-5, you know, sometimes you want to target a 2 because it sounds really pretty or a 6 because it's so lush and soothing or whatever, you know, like they all have different sounds and feelings, but I think starting with chord tones is a nice way to light it up. And then you can start to understand how each note or tone has a different sort of feeling and a different message as you're hitting it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think like what you said at first really resonated with me, just kind of using your ear once you have, you know, that it's in C sharp minor slash E major.
Yeah.
And then just like when you're visualizing those patterns on the neck, you can just use your ear, like you said. And, you know, we all know the melody and, you know, all that. But then when that lick comes in at the end, oh, wow. I know my cage pentatonic shapes in every position. I could do that down here. I could do it up an octave. I could do it up two octaves.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where it's like, then you have that flexibility, not just to play by ear, but you have the muscle memory of the pattern.
Yeah. You bring up such a good point. You said like using like, oh, I know the melody and I know the lick. So like you can then, I think the thing that gets really great is when you're utilizing information from the song to solo and to understand where to go and how to phrase, because you want there to be context when you're soloing, which is like the song.
That's a good piece of advice there. Like even if you're not playing changes, which is kind of a jazz thing, if you're just soloing one key, whether it's E major or C sharp minor, caged opens up your fretboard.
Yeah.
And so rather than stuck in one box, it'll help do that. And then I guess that's the first step. And the next step is every chord's a new scale, and then, which is kind of like a whole more advanced thing.
Yeah.
Oftentimes doesn't necessarily sound best.
Exactly.
Usually you have to think more and it sounds worse.
Well, I think that's the thing I was like trying to say at first is like, sometimes it doesn't make sense. Like certain times like playing, like really hitting changes is essential. And also like to make it sound like you're not thinking. Takes time and patience. And that's like the next hurdle, I'd say, you know, like you learn cage, you make it feel cool. You can solo in any key and move around. But then the next hurdle is probably like having the fretboard light up for a new chord with ease.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I like to kind of have this map analogy with caged. It's like, you know, if you go to New York City and you have a map, like you can kind of make your way around, but until you've lived there for like 7 years or something, you can't call yourself a New Yorker. Like you don't know about the little dim sum restaurant or all these little nooks and crannies that you, and that's like getting in there with the guitar neck. You just have to like explore it on your own.
Yes. Yeah. You have to go to a bunch of bad dim sum places to find the right one. You know, you have to hit some bad notes.
Right. Let's talk about our least favorite shapes in caged.
D.
So I don't know if you guys have ever talked to a piano player and they're very opinionated. I mean, any musician will be at a certain level, very opinionated on keys.
Oh, key. I thought you meant shape.
Well, both.
Okay.
So particular keys have certain feelings. Like I think Jacob Collier talks about this, like C major feels bright.
That's a whole nother level for me. Like I'm not there with that.
So there's that part, like the tonal harmonic part about keys. But I think as it relates for guitarists, there's certain positions within caged which may feel more comfortable, maybe more used by guitarists. So maybe let's start off with, what is your favorite one or two caged shapes, Carl?
Oh, I love the shape that sometimes people call the pentatonic equator. There's a great video of John Mayer talking about this on YouTube, where between the A and the G shape, you have all six strings connecting if you look at the diagram. And that's like the equator. There's so much music in that, those between those two shapes for me. So
I would say I actually love sonically the, like for your E and your A shapes, it's like root five, you know, but like going just up like root five root, if you're thinking of those chords.
Yeah.
But I really love a 1-3-5 going backwards. So sonically, and like, I think there's a lot of nice shapes in there, the C shape and the G shape. I mean, honestly, like even like when you started saying, I was like, the D shape's the one I don't like, and we'll get into it, but I don't even actually feel that way. I think there's a juicy space in all five shapes, is what I would say. But yeah, I'd say C and G shape, because I feel like how that sounds, the quality of those sound real nice.
There's definitely a nice way to think about it, because yeah, the easiest option, like in what I was going to say, was E and A, because it's so familiar to that bar chord.
Yeah.
But it does trap you in a bit of a position, in particular arpeggios and shapes versus the C and the G. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Sam's anti-D shape. Let's just say it. Okay, so let's get it out there.
Now let's get into it. You're a caged egalitarian. I'm a caged prioritizer. So what's your least favorite cage shape?
I'm also in camp. All shapes. All shapes are welcome.
All shapes are welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to defend the shape that you're going to put down. I feel like I need like a rebuttal or whatever after you put down D. Because, yeah, I know you're going to put down D. But I do have to say, I think there's something juicy about all of them. Like the bottom part of D where it like connects to like the 6-5-4 string. Like that's so juicy. Like all that stuff right there. You can go 1-3-1-3-1-3 or 2-4-2-4-2-4, which I wouldn't do. But 1-3-1-3-1-3 fingering wise. And it connects so nicely to E. And then the D shape, like the top of the D shape going from, I have like a lick. I like going from like the top of the D shape back to E. We're almost like, I shouldn't say a lick. Like it's like a movement that I think is really nice. So I think there's something to be found in all shapes. And they all connect. It's like if you don't like one, I don't know, it's like cutting off a wheel or something on a car. Like you need all of them.
Yeah, it's a bit like keys. Like, oh, I really don't like B major. Like some music's just in B major, and you know, there's 12 keys, so you know, you might not get to it straight away, but there's only five shapes, so each one is worth your time for sure.
Yeah.
That being said, screw D. Just joking. No, I think D as an extension of E is like totally rad. Like let's get up into D shape out of E.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you also, like, how often do you, like, you're in C, you dip back into D? Do you do that often?
Yeah, like going between them?
Yeah,
D to C. Yeah, I feel like with D, I mean, it depends what's going on, you know, because it could be a connector where I'm moving up, or I use it a lot to go from D down to E. But also, I feel like D and C are so, I mean, I don't feel they are so connected. Mm-hmm. So to me, they are one. I love a holistic. I don't meditate. I'm not a hippie, but no, I'm just kidding. I do think they all are like equally, there's something wonderful about all of the shapes.
Cool. We have this new system. It's called the 3-2 system. I'm going to present it to you and see if you enjoy the system.
Let me take it in.
Okay. Here's the 3 system. So you got your E shape, right? Okay. G major. Third fret.
Okay. E shape, G major.
Yeah. So G major bar chord. Third fret. So you're going to hit, I'm saying the scale note names, 1-2-3. How's your singing?
My piano out and we can play it, sing along.
Okay, so 3 notes on the E string.
Okay. Da, da, da. 1-2.
2 notes on the next string.
1-2-3-4-5.
Da, 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 da. 3 notes on the next string.
6-7-8.
Oh, 1-2-3. It's major pentatonic.
Oh, pentatonic, yeah, not the major scale.
Pentatonic, yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
So it's always 3 notes on a string, 2 notes on a string, 3 notes.
Sure.
And it goes all the way up. And it works on the E shape and the A shape.
Yes. Bruce Foreman showed it to me in a jazz lick. That same sort of concept of like that you have someone else, I feel like here called it like the step system or something, where it's like basically you can take a shape and move it up twice. So like the shape exists on the sixth and fifth string. Mm-hmm. The same shape exists on the fourth and third string. And the same shape exists on the second and first string, right? Like that's the kind of the concept.
Yeah, that's the concept. I mean, it shifts a little bit when you get to the, with that B string again, you know? Yeah. But sometimes people call it like the chair system or the stair system.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're sort of developing it as the 3-2 because it's like you can visualize three notes per on that first string and then two.
Yeah.
And then three and then two. And then it doesn't matter what shape it looks like. It's still just that 3-2 formula.
Totally.
That you can do.
I see that.
Horizontally.
Yeah. I think for the pentatonic scale, that totally makes sense. 3-2. Mm. But I think I learned it first as like this like jazzy lick of, and it's two notes per string. So it was just like a lick that's like, landing the guitar. But yeah, I think guitar, that is a really nice way, like a cool trick of like taking a shape and moving it up twice.
Yeah.
And having the same shape work. Mm. As long as obviously you have to like start on the same pitch.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. How about, you know, like three note per string scales and other ways of playing scales? Mm. Like are those approaches that you recommend students take and is something you've done?
I mean, I like the cage system because it feels like it's not, you're not even like, sure, we're learning in boxes, but the point is to connect. So to me, it's like, it doesn't matter what scale or it doesn't matter if you're doing three notes or two notes or five notes on one string. But the point of cage is to see that all the shapes connect and you can start anywhere and play anywhere. I feel like that's like the thing. It's like, sure, people learn three strings, the Segovia, the whatever sort of method they learn. But the goal is it doesn't matter where you start. You can see the whole shape, the whole key, whatever you're learning, whether it's an arpeggio or a scale, like you see it everywhere.
That's a good point. Cage doesn't define your fingerings. It's not two or three notes or one note per string.
Yeah.
It's just a map on your guitar that you can follow whatever way you want.
Precisely.
Yeah.
All right. And then it's always good to, you know, put on the cynical hat and talk about the downsides of a system. Where does it start being a bit challenging for a student?
Well, I'll even speak for myself. I mean, I didn't, similar to Molly, I didn't really fully understand it until I was almost like in grad school. It just wasn't really like on my radar.
Yeah.
So I think it's just sort of nebulous, like, oh yeah, the shapes of the chords, like, but you don't really understand how deep you can go with it. So, for me, it was just getting over that first hurdle of like digging into it, but it's really, once you spend a little time with it in our caged course, it's all there, you know?
I agree. I think when people are like, if people hate on it, I feel like they just aren't using it or understanding it correctly. Mm-hmm. Cause like you just said a second ago, it's not like this dogmatic of like, put your finger here and you have to, whatever, like only this key. It's a system of viewing the fretboard that I think everyone like ultimately kind of goes back to like seeing those shapes as a guide. I don't know. I think if it's not being understood correctly for the haters. Yeah.
Yeah, don't hate what you don't know. The only thing I would add is it uses these tonal names like C-A-G-E-D, but you'll be using like a G shape, but the key's a totally different key. So it's easy to start off because you're using these familiar open shapes, but you're using tonal names in the completely wrong context. So I find that trips people up often.
Yes, I think you nailed it on
versus
the head,
something like a number. A number is tied, you know, we have scale degrees and all that, versus something like position one, which is just the thing. So that I think is a head start for a student because it builds on it. But in the intermediate zone, it can hold you back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
it can be like key of C, position E or pattern E. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, oh my God.
Mouthful, right?
It just can take a second for your brain to like, when learning it, to adjust.
Yeah.
Any other final advice for students wanting to learn caged?
Dive in and start today. Don't wait.
Is it one of those things that you just learn it and then once you know it and then you forget about it?
It's like riding a bike, you know? You don't have to think about how to pedal once you're in it. You know, at first I feel like it's like, you know, confusing and you have to like think about every movement and every shape. And then the more you do it, the easier it gets, and just the clearer it gets, and the less you have to think. Like anything, like when you're like first learning a C chord, oh my God, you're like first finger goes way up, God, and you keep accidentally playing like a C augmented major chord, you know? But then you just start to see it, and it's not a lot of brain work.
Thanks for checking out this episode, and thanks to Molly and Carl for joining us today. If you want to learn the cage system and you want a guided program, check out Molly's Cage Learning Pathway on Pickup Music. It is a day-by-day lesson plan, which will take you around 3 to 4 months. You know exactly what to practice. There's some beautiful diagrams, play-along exercises, and some funky jams. And it's a free 14-day trial, so check it out if you want to decode your fretboard.